The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Great to be together. We got some great interviews all week long. Rocking and rolling. A lot happening. And we're just covering it all. So ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com. And you need to check in there and get signed up. Make sure you're getting the Daily Wink. Make sure you're getting all the different things we're up to. This, I want to cover this topic. I was making notes during the week, but I want to cover this topic. I get the Wall Street Journal online, and so I'm able to look at the Wall Street Journal. I'll be looking at it more frequently. You know, it's not that conservative anymore. Rupert Murdoch is kind of a funny guy. He owns it with his sons and his family, and so it's hard to tell. They sort of lean Republican or maybe lean classic Republican, but they're not as conservative, but anyway, it's good writing and it's good, smart people. And it's, I'd say, one of, you know, two or three national papers. Now you can say newspapers, Washington Post, totally liberal rag, but national, Wall Street Journal. And of course, New York Times, also liberal rag. But the one thing you can sort of look to the Wall Street Journal for too is the questions around the economy. They have a lot of international reporting. And so I watched closely. Joe Biden runs up to Pennsylvania in the last few days, and he gives a speech where he basically says, we're going to put tariffs on China, on Chinese steel. Now, very interesting, because for years, decades, you could not have a conversation about tariffs, especially against China, without being told if you put tariffs, you're going to have a trade war and you're going to destroy the economy, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And the free market people said, oh, no, you can't do that. Here's what you need to know. The shift in this country away from what I would call free market management, free market monopolies. That's better. Monopolies. In other words, big business was dominating and big globalists were dominating the choices. And so you had this, the free market wasn't really a free market. It was a monopolist free market, meaning that the biggest companies that could do the most international stuff could get to the cheapest labor and dominate. It's what made us lose so many jobs in the heart of the country. But, well, that's gone. And it, by the way, its home was the Republican Party. The Republican Party was the place that said, oh, yeah, no, free markets, you know, no regulations. Let these multinational companies get swallowed up by other companies. Eventually, it'll all equal out. It'll be better for us. You know, and it's a loser. And we see it now. And it was Donald Trump that shifted the whole conversation by having the courage to put tariffs on when he was being told by everyone from the Fed, the Federal Reserve, to the economists in the biggest universities, Wall Street, everyone saying, oh, no, don't you understand? We're too dependent on the world economy and the international markets. If you put tariffs, it's going to be the end of the world. It wasn't. He did it. It moderated behavior because one of the reasons that it was so compelling was we knew that the Chinese and others were cheating. And so they would cheat and basically they would effectively put tariffs on us, meaning we play by the rules and therefore the rules cost us money, either by them undercutting us with cheaper labor or lies or flooding the market or dishonesty in the trade, or we're just paying more to get things done because America has to pay more. We actually couldn't, you know, do slave labor in the Uyghurs. So Trump did that. Trump said, here's another example that Joe Biden has said, we're all upset at Iran. Iran's fighting with China. I mean, excuse me, with Israel. And yet Joe Biden has not tried to sanction tried to stop the Iranians from selling massive amounts of their oil and gas to whom? To the Chinese, to the Chinese regime. In other words, we're being lied to a lot by our policymakers. You know, Joe Biden said he had to empty the strategic petroleum reserve, this massive amount of extra petroleum that we keep in case we get in a war. He had to do that to keep the markets, to get the prices down, and then he'd buy it back. Well, except that he put it all in the market to try to keep the prices down. Didn't really work. And now it's too expensive to buy it back, so it's sitting empty. It's sitting empty. Can you believe it? I mean, so here's the thing. We're being misled by our leadership about the preferences that we take and make with regard to the economy, nationally, internationally, and internationally, and especially when it comes to energy. And one of the things that we have to, and well, I guess maybe I should say commodities, like the Chinese dumping, they call it dumping aluminum and others. Whether and same thing with some of the special sort of minerals that are used in some of the high tech, you know, China has a bunch of that and they dump it into the market to try to drive costs down so it's impossible to handle. The point is this: we need to continue to articulate what the America First principles are for maintaining our nation and our economy. And I think that both parties are starting to adjust to that. That if when you see Biden go up and talk about tariffs against the Chinese, what's weird is that the Democrats used to talk about tariffs. They used to be the ones because they knew that they could, if they talked about tariffs, it would protect American jobs. But the Democratic Party, just like the Republican Party from about the mid-1970s in through the last 5 or 7 years, they were in the tank for the multinational corporations because those multinational corporations could bring campaign contributions and jobs and everything else. So you had a situation and more of them, you go talk about Joe Biden, more and more of the influential companies and corporations in the lives of elected officials were non-manufacturing, right? So Joe Biden's family spent most of their time going in and out of the big banks that were housed in Delaware and the credit card companies and all the different related financial services fields. You know, that's where Hunter worked, and it's where a bunch of the wealth that Joe Biden's brother Jim has accumulated, it seems, is from lobbying around those issues. So the point is, our policies now appear in a bipartisan way to be more America First, except for the instinct of the American regime, both parties, to spend money overseas, to send billions and billions to Israel, billions and billions to Ukraine, billions and billions to NATO, billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, I heard this from, it might have been from Mike Benz. I talk about Mike Benz a lot. He's really cut through a lot of the clutter and is a voice people are hearing. But I say this a lot. Mike Benz made the point that when you spend billions, when you send billions to these places where they're fighting wars and so forth, or they're buying military equipment, NATO is an example. We send billions to NATO so they can arm themselves. We send billions to Ukraine so they can arm themselves. We send billions to Israel because they're in this battle. The common denominator, Mike Benz says, is the military-industrial complex, the sets of corporations that are making money. And you'll even have people say, I think it was Mitch McConnell, Senator McConnell said once, oh, you know, we sent all this money over there. Don't worry. It ends up coming back because it's our companies that sell the stuff to them. Well, that doesn't seem like a very good plan to me. Especially because it entangles us in places I don't think we need to be. But I also don't believe it works. I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money and an awful lot of corruption, and I don't see it in our best interest. But my point in telling you this is when it comes to things like tariffs, we have shifted in 5 or 7 years, really since Trump got in, dramatically to understanding that we can have an impact and that we should have an impact on what's happening in these places and what's happening with these other nations and how they're doing things. And so it is the necessary piece of a puzzle that has to do with our interaction with the world. And I'm observing that to you because you're watching it. You're seeing it more and more. You're seeing it more and more. We're going to see it when it comes to the both parties understand, meaning both Republican and Democrats understand that we cannot have the chip making in our that we're relying on be completely dependent on Taiwan? It can't all be in Taiwan, and willing to spend resources and change regulations to get that done? That's a different. That's a change. That's a change. That was even 5 to 7 years ago. You would have said, "Oh well, you know, go wherever the best deal is." And I know a friend of mine who is in the chip making industry. He is in a sort of related piece of it, not making the chips themselves, but components, I guess is the way you'd say it. And he was spending half of his time in China, chasing down deals that they could manufacture there. And in the midst, in the middle of the Trump administration, when there was a realization and it became a political consensus, then people changed. And he said, suddenly he was now looking for places in Georgia for his company to build. He was looking for places in the Western Hemisphere. He said, you know, there was an effort. It could be in China. I mean, excuse me, it could be in Mexico, but it can't be in China. Can't be in Taiwan. Can't be dependent on that part of the world. Big shift. Big shift. And a welcome shift. That's part of the America First stuff that's gone on. And I think it's making a big difference. And it will continue now. It will continue. You know, the multilateral trade deals, I'd lump them in there. Before Donald Trump, everybody thought, oh, yeah, we're going to have these massive deals where you have 7, 8, 9, 10 partners in one big deal. And they were boondoggles. They were relationships, legal relationships where America ended up footing the bill and being dominated by others. But this is extending, I hope, to the multinational organizations like the WTO, the WHO, even the UN, pulling back from that. And it all comes back to a topic we're going to talk more and more about in the coming months, sovereignty, national sovereignty, American sovereignty. So we got to take a break right now. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. Don't forget ProAmericaReport.com. Sign up there. Be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. I like to joke with people that you have to be a star, to be a big timer, you have to come on the Pro America Report early and then you launch and you end up out in the world. And this isn't entirely true with Mike Waller. He had a little bit more going before he was on our program, but he's been on a couple times and he's back now. Mike Waller, of course, his book, which has gotten a ton of attention, really has broken through. And people are really looking closely at it. It's called Big Intel. It's been out for a few months. Big Intel, how the CIA and FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains. Welcome back, Mike. How are you?
Doing great, Ed.
So first, you went to write a book. You had a lot to say. When you read the book, you realize this is a man who has all this experience, and he wants to talk about what he's seen and what's gone on. So that's all very interesting and compelling. And if you're a publisher or an editor, you know you got to have somebody that cares about what they're writing about. Still, however, when you go and write a book, it doesn't always resonate with other people. Sometimes you're writing it sort of for yourself, and that's enough. This has resonated with a lot of people. This has gotten a lot of attention. Are you surprised by it? Are you surprised that you are encouraged by a lot of people? Have you gotten much negative pushback? What's it like to be an author of a book that's been really successful already?
It's gotten a lot of interest at the grassroots level in America, a lot on local talk radio and podcasts, but zero interest from the establishment media, like literally zero. And that's not a bad thing. So this resonates not only with the public, but it also resonates with the intelligence community. I've gotten nothing negative from them yet, and it makes you a little bit nervous when they take a long time to respond. But I have gotten calls from the inside, even from people I don't know, saying that this book, Big Intel, speaks for them.
Well, that's interesting. That's so. But you came out of that world. I mean, you must have enough people. Are there people that call you and say, can't say anything publicly? But man, I guess you're saying that. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad your voice is out here. By the way, this book is from Regnery, the great publishing house. And now Tony Lyons is the new publisher. Great imprint. So are those people saying you said? I mean, somebody must have called you and said, oh, come on, man, you're getting it wrong. Nobody's done that.
Not yet.
Wow.
No, I've even gotten calls from significant places, people I don't even know, saying, I just wanted to thank you for this. And you don't even know the half of it. It's worse than you say.
Mike Waller is our guest, and his book is Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. Mike, a different question for you. Did this happen over the last two decades? Did it happen? I know we've talked about Thomas Baker's book about the FBI. He had that perspective, and it's pretty compelling when you read that. But there's something about this that feels like it really happened over the last 5 years, and maybe not even seven. Not even. It was almost like Trump won, and about a year into it, they really went. I guess they were doing it with the Russia hoax. But I guess, is this a last 5 to 7 years problem? Or is it the end of the Cold War caused the people have less to do and find something to do? What's your sense on why it's happening so obviously now?
It's kind of like when a dam bursts. Hmm. There are stresses on it going on for a very long time that people ignore or don't notice. And then one day a big rain comes and the whole thing bursts and floods everything downstream. And that's what's happened. Started in the CIA before the FBI. The FBI was sort of the last to go. And it's kind of understandable because it was J. Edgar Hoover who was warning about this since 1920, all the way up to his death, that the Marxist infiltration of our society, they would penetrate all of our institutions and destroy us from within. And he was absolutely right.
J. Michael Waller, by the way, I buried the lead a little because now I'm so familiar with him myself. We were offline. We're communicating. He I didn't get his bio perhaps enough. He worked in the CIA, especially in Central America. Worked extensively on examining what the Soviet Empire's breakup meant and what the history of all that meant. And now is currently a senior analyst over at the Center for Security Policy, as well as the president of Georgetown Research, political risk and private intelligence company. So is the reform possible in normal ways? You know, when people look up and they say, okay, let's get a new administration, let's get a new director of national intelligence. Is that possible, Mike? Or is the reform restructuring, is it now gone? And maybe say it differently. Can you really take this on? Because it's to use Mike Benz's term, it's like the blob. You might move in one aspect over here. It stretches and pulls like an amoeba or a blob and doesn't get really diminished much.
It is very much like the blob that Mike Benz talks about. But yes, there's still time to do something about the FBI. It can't be saved as an organization.
Okay.
It's too rotten from the top down and from the bottom up, where you had right after 9/11. So you've had almost, you had over 20 years of huge hires, massive personnel hires, same with the CIA. And they're bringing in people regardless of character. They brought in and you look at the FBI jobs section on Twitter X, and they're seeking out the wokest of the woke to become the new cadres of the Bureau. So as my friend Steve Friend said, former FBI agent who was suspended, the FBI is not being destroyed. It is rebuilding a new FBI. So it's rebuilding something in an image that has nothing to do with American founding principles. Yet it's using the American Constitution and laws in order to change our society. And this is where they call themselves in the intelligence community, agents of change, with their rainbow flag logo. And this is blessed from the top, from the Director of National Intelligence and the FBI director.
We're talking with Mike Waller again and on his book on this subject. I did a book review over at AMAC on Newsline there, and lots of people covering the book. But you should get the book because it's pretty extraordinary to go through and to march through it again. It's called Big Intel and Regnery Books. Is when you see the oversight stuff going on Capitol Hill and you see more and more things being exposed. Here's one I'll give you. I want to ask you about is it looks like the FBI had a system of sort of focusing or targeting Catholics, conservative Catholics. Now, when you sit back with all your experience, is that something that got mislabeled? Had a misfocus by somebody in that organization? Is it laziness? Is it to you an indication of the sort of Marxist rot that you would be so anti-religious? I mean, you could have just as easily perhaps focused on maybe there's not as a potent a wing of, I was going to say, conservative Mormons or something, or Latter-day Saint or some Orthodox Jews. I mean, I guess. But what does that mean when we see that kind of targeting and sort of maybe it was unspoken in the past? Now it's a memo.
Right. It was a memo that came from one analyst in the Richmond field office. And when challenged on this, the FBI director tried to brush it off, saying, oh, well, that was just Richmond. Well, actually, that memo was approved by the special agent in charge of Richmond, the senior most person at the field office. And it was circulated throughout the whole FBI. And the person who wrote it is still on the job, last anybody knew, and was never disciplined for this. So this is something that had the stamp of approval from the entire FBI, because that's the way of thinking now. It's normal to think this way. Let's target a conservative group that's different, that, you know, doesn't go along with the trends in society, and view them as the threat. And this is what they did with conservative, traditional Latin Rite Catholics and certain evangelical Christians. And now they're trying to blend, you know, push everything together as Christian nationalism, as if that's something really evil, and show that that's the main enemy.
Mike Waller, again, is our guest. His book is Big Intel. Does it make you worry, or maybe should I worry, or should we worry, that this is just what we sort of catch them at and see them at? You know, in other words, this is just that you caught the memo on Catholic, or they wrote down the memo on the Catholics. I mean, in a way, if it's rotten, it's not just rotten in the way we catch them. I hate to say this. It's like with my kids. I said one of my kids lied to my wife and I, and I said we caught them in the lie. I said, this is just one we caught you. Is there no other ones? Just should it worry us that Big Intel's got stuff that they're doing that we don't see? I mean, it should worry us, but how bad is the worry?
It's really bad, because the Congress, both the House and the Senate, have been asking, all Republicans, by the way, not Democrats, have been asking for more than 3 years for specific yes or no answers from the FBI on this kind of stuff. Meaning, you're not going to compromise your sources or your anything like that. Just yes or no.
Right.
And the Bureau will not say one way or the other much of the time, especially on certain questions like, did the FBI have any assets or agents involved in planning or executing physical acts of violence at the Capitol on January 6th? It's been 3 years and the FBI still will not say yes or no.
Right.
But you know what? Yeah. So when it comes to what you're talking about, this is stuff that we're learning just anecdotally, because there's no systematic revelation. Like with the Frank Church Committee in the 1970s, when they investigated the CIA, Director Colby was completely cooperative with Congress, and it pained him to do so because he was a lifelong CIA man.
Right, right. We don't have anybody doing that. It's a big difference. All right, Mike Waller, unfortunately, I'm out of time. I will have you back again. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you for being out there so clearly and so importantly at this time. A lot of people are thinking what you're saying, and maybe they don't have the position in their life or the confidence or the courage to do it. So thank you for doing that. We've got to take a break, everybody. We'll be right back. I'll put a link up to Mike Waller's book, Big Intel, comes from Regnery Press. Regnery, a great publisher. We'll be right back. Ed Martin, Pro America Report, back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Fascinating guest. Our next guest is a woman named Catherine Novikov, and she is she's the leader of an entity, a foundation called the Diamond Mine Foundation. We'll get to that. But she's a businesswoman, been very successful at that. She's lived all over the world, actually. She's had different kinds of work, lived in Russia, in Moscow. She's educated at the highest level at Wharton. That's a UPenn school there. And she has, I got sent her information because the phrase that is so often used, inclusion is our strength, everybody has to salute that, and she kind of takes that to pieces. So first of all, welcome Catherine Novikov to our program. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well.
So why is it important to you that you actually push back on this? You know, you don't have to take every fight. You're very successful. Why is this important for you to take apart? This notion that inclusion is our strength, and that this sort of cultural assertion, why bother? Why are you taking it on?
Well, I'm taking it on because I see inclusion is our strength as a kind of battle cry against our nation. This idea that inclusion is our strength is a way of sort of forcing us to open up all of our organizations to infiltrators, people who don't uphold our standards as a nation or as an organization, people who have an intention to get in them and change them. And our country was built on meritocracy. That's a core value of our country. And I am completely opposed to this battle cry.
So it's an interesting one because if you went a different direction, if you were, say, a women's group in the 1970s, a feminist women group, and a guy came along and said, I want to join, they'd say, well, no, this is a feminist group. We want the people that have our perspective. And yet somehow, to your point, it's turned on its head now. And in order to be, you know, a successful X, you must add Y. And it doesn't make common sense, does it? So how is it that the culture and the forces have convinced so many people to act against common sense? I'll give another example, DEI. People talk a lot about DEI now. And at a certain point, DEI has the impact of making, say, an African-American, it's almost like people look at him and say, or her, and say, they didn't get there. They didn't earn it. They got there for some other reason. That's not helpful. I mean, how did we convince ourselves to do something so stupid?
Well, I think part of it is, again, an American value is rooting for the underdog, caring mm-hmm. about the folks who perhaps didn't have the biggest advantages. You know, we love a self-made person. And I think they played on that note. They played on that compassionate, caring side of us. And, you know, slowly over time, using ideas that sounded good on the surface, sounded like they resonated with our values, they, again, sort of infiltrated our goodwill and then changed it into something that became a complete abdication of any and all standards, including biological standards.
Right. Actually, I was reading a piece, and again, we're talking, and I'll put a link up, but Catherine Novikoff and her work, her foundation is called Diamond Mind Foundation. But I was reading a piece that you authored over at yournews.com, and I'll put a link up. Actually, you got ahead of me. You talk about biology. You think of this in terms of biology, but in the paragraph before that, I noticed, and I think this in a country, in a nation right now where we're watching our borders wide open and people are saying, you know, what is this? You know, what is happening? Part of the argument, and you reference this, is, you know, you're not called to invite people into your country that don't believe what you believe and don't want to buy into what you buy in. It would be crazy to do. But having said that, Catherine Novikoff, I mean, what happens when a generation or two of the people who are Americans maybe don't believe what you and I are talking about? They don't believe in meritocracy. They don't believe in free market capitalism as generating the most success for the most people or something like that. You know, the people that are coming may share the values of too many Americans because we've lost something.
Well, I think we have lost something. And again, it's been happening slowly over time, led by our Ivy League and other elite institutions who we've allowed to be infiltrated by ideas that are completely contrary to the Constitution and to American values. We've allowed that to go on far too long, and we're in a deep hole. But I do think that a lot of young people, and perhaps even some of the immigrants, hopefully mostly legal ones, but perhaps some of the ones that have come here illegally, I think they're starting to see that this system of inclusion and the demolition of all standards under some kind of a big top-down heavy hand, I think that the game is running its course. People are seeing the damage and destruction and the chaos that it's causing. And I think this tide is starting to turn because it is playing out to its natural conclusion, which is a nation that we can't recognize and that nobody wants to live in. And we have to take it back. And I believe we are taking it back because it's played out to such an ugly end.
Catherine Novikoff, again, is executive director with the Diamond Mound Foundation. Mission of that the foundation is to help people see without distortion. That's a big challenge there. And this piece I'm referring to, you finished it. You say, be brave, fellow Americans. You write, stand up for our standards for inclusion and exclusion in all the ways you can. Our lives and our nation depend upon it, depend upon us not being afraid to say we are the governed for whom you work. But let me finish with this quote, this part of it. We have written standards in our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and we have our traditions. When you say the tide is turning, you know, it's not going to be turned by an election or a president or a Congress. It's bigger than that, right? And are you seeing, I guess you're seeing the signs, like when the Ivy League schools are confronted by their silliness and they have to retreat. Are you seeing a rebirth of the kind of understanding in other places? I guess that's the encouragement I want to believe.
Yes, I think so. I think that, you know, we the people really ought to rename ourselves we the bosses, because we are the bosses. And we, in a sense, have been lulled into complacency and have failed to do our job right in our own backyards, with our school boards, with our HOAs, with our local government, with our neighbors over the fence. We've failed to do our jobs to speak up for the values that we carry in our hearts and that are important to us. And I really believe that that's where it starts for each and every one of us, is in our own backyard. General Flynn talks about this, you know, get active locally, because that's something we can all do. And I do see that. And I see new groups popping up dedicated to building a parallel economy. We at the Diamond Mine Foundation are dedicated to building new nonprofits that we can incubate and launch to fill certain functions in the country, helping people to see without distortion. It's lots of people doing lots of little and medium-sized things right in their own backyard. And I am absolutely seeing a tremendous amount of energy and interest. The other area that I'm seeing a lot of energy and interest is the parallel economy, you know, replacing the country, replacing these companies that have become, you know, I would even say treasonous toward Americans, with substitutes that have our national interest at heart. And those companies, those opportunities are springing up right and left. People are weaponizing their investments, divesting from these companies that don't have our interest at heart, and putting the money into companies and initiatives that do. All of these things, it's not going to happen all overnight. It'll probably take at least a decade, but the momentum is there. And I see people left, right, and center, by the way, you know, jumping on the same trend that says we're the bosses, we the people are the bosses, and we need to take our country back.
We were speaking with Catherine Novikoff, and she's executive director of the Diamond Mine Foundation, diamondminefoundation.org. You can read more about their work. I should have mentioned earlier, back in my notes, Catherine was a veteran, U.S. Air Force veteran, served, and I knew that I had this right, in Japan as well as in Russia, lived and worked, also worked at the World Bank for when she was in with Anderson Consulting. And I want to ask you, just, I just got less than a minute, but you watch the world. You say the world is all across the world. There's some movement. Is what you're saying a sort of, and they try to make the word a negative, but it's a sort of nationalism, right? It's a sovereignty for who you are. Is that the way to think of it? And is that what we should hope for? And the other part of this is, you, again, you were an observer, a very close observer of both the Soviet end of the Soviet Union. And then you meant in your biography, World Bank, as well as living abroad, the rise in multinational organizations, whether the EU or businesses, it's dramatic. Even though we can say we're pushing to get more local and national, focus, it's pretty darn massive, and that's a big impact, and that's accelerated in 25 years.
Yes, it has, and it is a threat to our sovereignty as Americans. And I'm America first, but I'm also Russia first, and China first, and Indonesia right. first. I think that healthy nations are like healthy families. They have to be healthy in and of themselves first, and then they can be healthy between one another. Right. I think nationalism is a very healthy force. It's about taking care of one's own, putting on our own oxygen mask so that we can have a half a chance of helping others do the same.
Well said. All right. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Thank you very much for being with us, Catherine Novikoff, and I'll put a link up to her work. Very interesting and important. Glad your voice is out there. We got to take a break, though, everybody. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily look at the significant issues of our time from an experienced conservative perspective. Sponsored by Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, this broadcast continues the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly and stands against forces that mock traditional values, slander America, and redefine the family. Now, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
There has been a staggering increase in crimes of all types by illegal aliens since President Biden took office 3 years ago. Reported encounters for illegal drug possession and trafficking had declined each year of the Trump administration, but they skyrocketed to more than five times Trump's 2020 level for every year of the Biden administration. Biden's henchmen may have rethought their strategy after 25 Republican governors stated their full support for Texas officials in resisting the demands by Joe Biden to cut the wire fencing along the border. The governors sided with Texas Governor Greg Abbott for stepping up to protect American citizens from historic levels of illegal immigrants, deadly drugs like fentanyl, and terrorists entering our country. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem even offered to personally drive to Texas to add more razor wire fencing if needed. Texas should consider closing its entire border with this barbed fencing now. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the globalist minority leader in the Senate, had been obsessed with sending another $60 billion to the Ukraine in exchange for allocating a small fraction of that sum to border security. McConnell complained about Donald Trump's influence over members of Congress. But it was Biden who defiantly allowed a record number of migrants to cross into Texas and who repeatedly sued Texas, making any potential compromise a non-starter. President Biden has had 3 years to prove that he can secure our borders. But instead of this, Biden has done the opposite. And the effects on Texas and our entire country are devastating. And after rejecting many opportunities to protect our southern border throughout his administration and in many different aspects of his governing, it's insulting for President Biden and the Democrats to now pretend that they will finally reverse their open border policies and make things work on the eve of a presidential election.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report with Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. American citizenship should never be taken lightly. That's why you need to go to phyllisschlafly.com and be part of the dialogue on the need for border security and an accurate census, the travesty of sanctuary cities, and voting rights for illegals. Voice your opinion at phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height stepping in here real quick to wrap up the show for Mr. Ed Martin. Thank you for being with us today. What a great show. A couple of good guests. And of course, we kicked off the day with some enlightening, though not so good news about what's happening. Absolutely incredible. And I wanted to wrap up on that and talk just a teeny bit about it. Another couple of things that I think you need to know. But before we do that, let me remind you, go to ProAmericaReport.com. ProAmericaReport.com is where you're going to find Ed's Substack, a lot of the things he's writing about, some other things, including some special reporting this week, as well as going and following him at Eagle Ed Martin, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. But getting ahead of myself, we have a little bit to talk about, I want to tell you about. And then also, of course, go to PhyllisSchlafly.com. PhyllisSchlafly.com is where you're going to find the archives of this program. You'll find the sign up for the Wink email, what you need to know into your inbox every single morning, weekday morning, at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and all the other time zones concurrently. So go there. Those two websites, you don't want to miss them. But wrapping up the show today, man, so much has happened. The ongoing coverage, the media circus, the zoo, basically, that is happening right now in New York City. We have talked about it endlessly. I've been on the radio a bunch today. Ed has been online. We've been doing broadcasts. He's been doing a ton of stuff. There is so much happening that you need to know about and see. Let me just give you a couple of things. For the rest of the week, at least, although this trial is certainly, you know, this is going to go on for quite a while here. Let me give you a couple of places to go to see, and then I want to make a couple of points about what we're talking about. Because maybe, you know, you hear the wink that I gave this what you need to know of the political assassination of a president. And you wonder, is it really that big of a deal? Is this some sort of cataclysmic event? Well, I think so, and I'll explain why. But just as a matter of making sure you have the most up-to-date information, let me give you a couple of really, really good sources that are doing a lot of talking and working this week. First of all, make sure you're following Ed on Twitter, at Eagle Ed Martin. Excuse me, on X, I guess. We're not supposed to say Twitter anymore. Make sure you're following him, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. He is doing a lot of work, including some live broadcasts with folks there in New York. You don't want to miss out on those. Those are really, really neat. Of course, you'll be able to go from his Twitter page, his X page, whatever you want to call it, and move into a couple of other areas where those broadcasts are happening. But one of them, you will want to follow Paul Ingrassi Ingracia on Twitter. Paul Ingracia, who we've had on the Pro America Report here, a good friend of the show. He is doing a lot of live reporting from New York. You want to go and follow him for some on-the-ground stuff, see what's happening. And then, of course, another one of our favorites here on the program, someone I highly recommend you follow this week during the opening of these proceedings as it all kicks off, is Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. He is at Mr. DDMIA, MR, DDMIA on Twitter. You want to go and follow him. Of course, also, Paul Ingracia is at Paul Ingracia. That's two S's, I-N-G-R-A-S-S-I-A, at Paul Ingracia, and at Mike Davis, at Mr. DDMIA. Those are two places you want to go and follow. In addition to Ed, you will get some really crystal clear commentary. You'll get a good understanding of what's going on. There's some incredible legal background and political background amongst those three individuals, particularly. And I tell you what, I mean, that's going to be my go-to sources in addition to a bunch of others. But that's the case. That's the stuff. That's where you want to go to stay updated on everything that is happening this week. Now, let me dive into just a wee bit of an explanation. I want to shore up something that I said here at the beginning. We talked about how it is, in my opinion, this is the incredible cataclysmic political event, the political assassination of a president of the United States, unlike anything that we have seen in our lifetimes. And I pray that we will ever see again, although I'm not as hopeful in that statement as I am confident in the first one. But just in these last couple of minutes, I want to make sure if you actually don't agree with me, if you don't see this as being that cataclysmic, if you don't see Donald Trump as this obvious choice that conservatives, that the right wing must make to go and fight the deep state, then let me tell you something that I think is incredibly important. We always hear this, you know, this upcoming election is the most important election of our lifetimes. I think that a lot of people have said that and meant it. And they've been probably not technically incorrect, but they've been overselling it. I think that a lot of people have said that and not truly meant it because they were hyping or trying to get your attention for something. However, I truly believe, and I think that you know as well, this year, this 2024 election cycle truly could be a civilizational event for the United States of America. We are witnessing actively our judicial branch pieces of it and our executive branch pieces of it suppressing Trump votes, suppressing and removing a candidate of the United States. And for what? For what? Let me tell you this. Of these felonies, these supposed felonies that Donald Trump is facing, it doesn't take very long going down the rabbit hole to see what drummed up charges these things are. For instance, 11 of the felonies that Donald Trump is facing are for receiving an invoice in the mail. Receiving an invoice. He has 11 felony charges for receiving a piece of mail. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? And then you go down the list and realize 11 more of those charges are from them putting in putting an entry into their books for these 11 invoices that were sent. And then, of course, 11 times a check was paid out. You go down the list and see these, 80 something felonies that he's been charged. It's absolutely incredible. 11 of these felonies are simply for receiving a piece of mail, something that you don't have any control over. That's what they're doing to him. And if they do it to him, they can do it to you. They can do it to me. And I guarantee you they will. It's only a matter of time if we let this happen. Go and take a look. This is truly a cataclysmic, civilizational level event for the United States of America. I firmly believe we've got to pay attention. That's my final plea to you. Go and pay attention and see what's happening. Thanks for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thanks to Ed for doing all the reporting and letting me host real quick. Thank you to Mason, my co-producer, and to you, most importantly, for listening and making this show what it is. We appreciate you. And we will see you back here on another installation of the Pro America Report tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.